Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning at Wigham Baptist Church. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with prayer. If you're visiting with us, or if you have any prayer needs or anything, there's an insert in the bulletin. You can use it to fill it out. We'd like to have a record of your visit here if you are visiting, or if anyone that's a regular here, if they've got any prayer needs or anything, you can use this and just put it in offering plate, or you may give it to one of the deacons or Brother Tim. We'd like to thank everyone who donated clothes and helped set up and helped with the clothes giveaway yesterday morning. It was a great day, and as always, to God be the glory that we were able to reach out to the community on that. Backpack items are due today, so if you were able to get, if you haven't brought them in, please have them here by tonight if you can, so we can get those backpacks ready. Deacons meeting at 3:30 this afternoon. October 16th, our church will be feeding the English as a second language class at First Baptist in Cairo. So remember that and keep that in prayer. There'll be more information coming up about that and maybe some items we need. We'll have that ready next week. Stand in the Gap Men's Ministry is October 12th at 7 p.m. here at the church. And the Titus II Women's Ministry meeting is October 17th at 6 p.m. We'd like to thank everyone. We met the state mission goal of $1,000. And once again, to God be the glory for that. But thank y'all. Thank you, neighbor. Certainly go to a good cause to help spread the gospel. The conference is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So if you can, please attend the service Wednesday night. We live in a world that can get what? Very discouraging. And we live in a depressing world, y'all. We do. That's just, you know, we live in that world. I want to encourage you tonight, if you are discouraged or depressed about things, come to the service tonight. Brother Tim has a sermon that he's going to be preaching that I think everyone really needs to hear. So I encourage you to be here tonight at 6 o'clock for the worship service on that. Any other announcements, y'all? Harold got me distracted, so I do forget. Ashley?
I'd like to fill everybody in. The Sunday school class already knows. I go back to Atlanta on the 12th where they install a loop monitor over my heart to make sure that it's not heart-related. And so it's just going to be a long couple months. So. Mm. Just keep us in your thoughts and prayers as we go through this. It's not going to be easy. So,
in case you could not hear, Ashley will be going back to Atlanta October the 12th to have a monitor installed to continue to try to diagnose her issues. So keep her and Kevin and the family in prayer, y'all. Any other announcements? Birthdays.
Jackson.
Somebody's pointing to something. Someone. Okay.
Jackson Pope.
Jackson Pope. Well,
yeah. Good to have you home this weekend, Jackson. Happy birthday. Is anyone else? Well, let's all sing happy birthday to Jackson.
We got an anniversary, too.
Anniversary. Mr. Howard and Miss Nellie, happy anniversary. Now, I don't have a happy anniversary song, so Brother Tim wants to lead us in that after I get through singing happy birthday to Jackson, we can do that. But happy anniversary. Hey, Jackson, this is for you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday. birthday to you.
It's good to be in God's house, y'all. It is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the past Sunday school hour, Lord. We thank you for the time of fellowship that we had before the worship service today, Lord. That means a lot, Lord. And I thank you for friends and family and all, Lord, that lift us up each and every day, Lord, and are truly concerned about our lives and what's going on, Lord. And we do want to lift up the ones that we praise your name, Lord. We want to lift up Ashley and others, Lord, that are going through tests and things like that, Lord. We just put them in your hands, and we pray, Lord, that your will be done and that we can get answers or they can get answers to the conditions that are going on, Lord. Lord, I do just want to start out just praying for this service as we start this service with our song service today, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Brother Tim. I lift him up to you, Lord, as he comes before us and proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have really, truly, and sincerely come to worship our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
I do want to add this about Mr. Howard and Miss Nelly. Those two people have been an example. They're solid earth people in my opinion, and I just appreciate them so much and love them. So happy anniversary again. Our song this morning to start out, if you'll please stand and smile and sing real loud, 249, if you're looking in the hymnals, glorify thy name, glorify the Lord.
Thank you.
There shall be showers of blessing. 467. Sissy said this morning that we're about to get the choir started again, and I'm looking forward to it. Also, Elizabeth shared with me this morning. She wants to sing a special for us, and I told her we would work on that. Miss Sissy would play the music for her, and we'll go through that. And let you, we're looking forward to that, Elizabeth. This morning, I'm going to sing an old hymn that, how many remember Charlotte Crew? Most of us remember Charlotte. She sat right back at the back in a wheelchair, and but she asked me one time, this was years ago, why don't y'all sing the old Rugged Cross more? So this is one of my favorite hymns, and so we're going to do that this morning. We'll do that.
the first third and last, 141.
Discouraging, we can easily be discouraged and depressed. And so I encourage you to be here tonight because some people would tell you as long as you got enough faith, you'll never be depressed or discouraged. Can I tell you that is a lie from Satan himself? Because we have all faced times in our lives where we've been disappointed, we've been discouraged, and we've been depressed. And so what we're going to look at this evening is the life of Elijah. We're going to talk about this morning the miracle of him calling down fire from heaven. But then to see a man of God who was on the mountaintop 1 minute and then hiding in the cave from a woman the next moment is we just have to filter through that and understand what's going on. And I'm going to give you a little bit of insight as far as from a preacher's perspective. Because nobody tells you when you go into ministry that you're not going to have a big response all the time. Amen? And so you're looking to change the world just as Elijah thought he was going to change the world, and I'm preaching tonight's sermon already. But anyhow, I'll let you in on a few secrets tonight as we gather together that hopefully will help you when you find yourself in those times of discouragement and even depression. So, Elijah, as we talked about last Sunday, was a prophet in the Old Testament. We don't know a whole lot about him, other than the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, that he was a Tishbite, whatever a Tishbite is, okay? You figure that out later on. We know that he was around for a while during the Old Testament times. But we know most about his ministry while King Ahab was reigning in Israel, because he had some major run-ins with Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab was a man who knew about God. He had been raised up, and he knew. And that's what we can say even today. There's a lot of people that grow up in church and know that there is a God, but then they choose to turn from him. And that is exactly what Ahab did. And matter of fact, as we study in chapter 16 of 1 Kings, it tells us that Ahab did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all the ones who came before him. Ahab knew what was right. He knew what to do. He knew there was a God in Israel. But he had a wife from Tyre. We learned in Sunday school this morning, right? But here's the thing. It's one thing if his wife did that, if she was worshiping Baal, and this woman, she didn't pull any punches. She was just an in-your-face type woman, because she took and she built in the center of Israel a monument, so to speak, a temple to worship her god, the god of Baal, right, which was the god of the storms and fertility. She set this up, and she encouraged others to come and worship a false god. She even, as I mentioned last Sunday, she even took and employed 450 students or seminary students within her college that she's in it to train them in the art of worshiping a false god. Man, why don't we get busy about training people to witness for the real God, amen? But here she is. She is defiant. She's an in-your-face type person. She's an in-God's-face type person. But then we realize our passage for this morning. It comes down to God had told Elijah to tell Ahab that because of their sins, it would not rain or there would be no dew until the Lord told Elijah to speak and say that it was going to rain. And we know that lasted for about three and a half years. But during that process, it is time Israel has suffered. There's been a major drought, as we looked at last week. And it's time that God has done his reckoning with the nation of Israel. And he's fixing to tell Elijah that it's time to send the rain. And so Elijah goes and he meets with King Ahab. And as soon as Ahab sees Elijah, he says, "Oh, you troubler of Israel." Like it's Elijah's fault. Have you ever noticed when things go wrong, people always want to blame somebody else? They can be living and wide open to sin and wonder why they've got a disease. They wonder all these things, wonder why they got cirrhosis of the liver. or whether they've taken drugs and they have overdoses, but then they always want to blame somebody else for their problems. And Elijah just puts it right back to him. I'm not the trouble of Israel. You have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord God. You see, it's sin, and when sin creeps into anybody's life, and it creeps into all of ours, amen, because we are all sinners in need of a Savior. But as we look at this, we realize that these sins are in direct defiance of Almighty God. Look with me in chapter 18, verse 1. We're going to look there real quick, and then we're going to go down to verse 20. In verse 18 it says, "It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go present yourself to Ahab and tell him, I will send rain on the earth." Now let's look down, because there's still conflict going on here. And there's still something that needs to be done. And that something is that the nation of Israel needs to be purged of sin. Can I tell you that's the same truth in your life? If you don't get rid of the sin in your life, it will eat you up. Amen? You say, well, you know, what are you talking about? I'm talking about there are things in probably every person here to this morning. There is some sin in your life, you know, that hits you every single time. Jesus said this. He's talking about the seriousness of sin. He says, if your eye causes you to offend, what are you supposed to do? If your hand causes you to offend, what are you supposed to do? Is that really what Jesus wants us to go around and do? Pull our eyes out, cut our hands off? No. What he is saying, you need to do whatever you need to do to keep from being tempted and drawn into sin. Because here's the thing. I've told some of you this already. Facebook just got so bad, I just said, you know what? I don't need it. I don't need it. Some of you may need to do the same. There's things on your computer maybe you need to block. Maybe you need to unsubscribe to. And that's a whole different ballgame right there. But here's the reality. God is serious about sin, because every sin is an offense to our holy and righteous God. Now, let's look at chapter 18, verse 20. Says, so Ahab, let me find, make sure I'm on the right verse here. Sorry about it. Let's go back up to verse 19. I'm sorry. Verse 19 says, now therefore send together all nations, all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eats at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone and left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made, and so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. When midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the evening, the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the son of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 steers of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." And he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all the things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me." My place, y'all. Hold on just a second. Sorry. Y'all ever do that? All right. Okay, here it is. "O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Listen to what verse 38 says. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw, they fell on their faces, and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.' So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishron and executed them there." We pray with me. Heavenly Fathers, we have read your word. Lord, I know there's a lot going on in our hearts and minds of this world. God, I pray that you would draw our attention to you this morning. Lord, because I believe, as I mentioned last Sunday night, that there are many who are faltering between 2 opinions. Lord, are you God, or are we God, or is this the world God? Lord, I pray that you would help us choose you this day. Lord, that you would be honored and glorified, and that, Lord, if our hearts are not in tune with you today, then I pray that our hearts would be turned back to you. Lord, whatever it is, whatever you want to do, God, I pray that you would have your way and glorify yourself, and I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, once again, as we think about this, these 450 prophets of Baal, Elijah calls in to kind of a showdown. I kind of let the cat out of the bag last Sunday night, so if you weren't here, I'll say it again. It's kind of like an old Western movie, ain't it? Anybody like Western movies? You see Elijah come driving into town, and you know Elijah's the good guy, right? Because he's trying to turn the hearts of the people back to God. And Elijah's, he sees Ahab, and Ahab says, "Oh, you're just a big old troublemaker. You come here to do no good." And Elijah says, "No, you're the troublemaker, because you have gone against the commandments of God. So he, by the direction of God, because up to this point, Elijah had done everything God told him to do. We'll see tonight, the only time Elijah was not doing what God told him to do, he was in depression and discouragement. We'll get into that tonight. But Elijah was doing everything he had done, and even this challenge with these 450 false prophets, because Elijah was intent on showing the people who the one true living God was. He was intent on that. So what does he do? He challenges Ahab, and he says, listen, tomorrow morning you get all of Israel, because I want everybody to witness this event. It's not about me, it's about God, and I want everybody's attention so that nobody will have an excuse not to believe the God of Israel. I want you to gather them and your 450 false prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, and I want them all there. So what do? They come and they bring the two bulls, and Elijah, being the good gentleman that he was, he let the false prophets go first, right? He gives them all day to do their dancing and shouting and hollering. He gives them all day. And you know what? They got the first pig of the bull. Think about this for a minute. If you wasn't sure who your God was and you were going to try to call down fire from heaven, would you want a big bull or a little bull? I'm asking. Man, if I wasn't sure, I'd get the littlest one. That way, maybe just a spark would burn him up, you know? But by some miracle, I sure wouldn't pick the biggest one if I wasn't sure. And the Bible doesn't say that. I'm throwing that in there for free, just the thought that I have. Think that way sometimes. But here's the thing. Elijah said, listen, you take all the time you need. You got all day. And they're starting early. So there's 450 of them. It must not have took very long to skin that bull and cut him all up, throw him on the altar, right? Couldn't have taken very long, 450 people working together. Well, they put their bull up there and they start calling on the name of their God, quote unquote, and they call on him until from morning till the midday, and old Elijah got some sarcasm, because he starts telling them, well, call on your God, call on Baal, cry out. For he is God. Either he is meditating, I'm reading from verse 27, either he is meditating or he is busy. In other words, Elijah is saying, listen, if your God can be that so easily distracted, maybe he's not a God at all. Look at what it says. Maybe he's meditating, he's at it. Because have you ever seen these people that go, you know, they're out of it, right? They got to be if they're sitting home, you know. They got to be out of it. How can they hear? How can they pay attention? But then he says, oh, maybe your God is busy. You know what the little interpretation of that word busy is? Your God is using the bathroom so he don't have time to mess with you. Look it up. He's busy. If you're in the bathroom and your kid hollers for you, what are you going to do? You gotta wait, right? I can't make this up. It's in the Bible, amen. Cry aloud. For he is a God. You worship him as God, but he's not answering you. Maybe he's gone somewhere. Maybe he's off, you know, doing something else where he just can't mess with you. He's out of range from hearing you cry out to him. Holler louder. But then it goes on to sleep more. Perhaps he is sleeping. Must be awakened. You know, I'm glad that when I pray, I have a God who hears me. My Bible tells me that my God never sleeps and never slumbers. He's never too... He's never too busy, amen? He's never too busy to hear my prayer and to answer my prayer. I've got that going for me because I know that when I pray, he hears me. Now, he's not always going to answer the way that I ask him because he knows what's best for me. But I do know that he, when I pray, he's going to answer yes or no, or maybe later. Or maybe when you've learned your first lesson that I'm asking you to learn. And then God will answer. Oh, Elijah, though, these guys are cutting up, right? They're really cutting up. They're not just dancing up and down, hooping and hollering, calling on their God, but they're cutting themselves down, right? They're cutting themselves. They're doing all this stuff to try to draw attention of their God. But what's interesting is the Bible tells us that nobody answered. Nobody cared. Nobody, from their perspective, because they're crying. I mean, 450 of them dancing up and down, cutting themselves, bleeding all over the place, and they keep crying out to the God, and the God's not listening, the God's not hearing. No, they're not even their God's not even paying attention to them. Man. So, what happens? They've had their chance now, and Elijah says, okay, y'all, you've had all day. This time for the evening sacrifice. You know, they showed up at Mount Carmel early in the morning for a showdown at sundown, right? They've had all day to do their thing. Elijah's one man, so he calls them all to him and says, okay, now, God, it's interesting when he prays because he's not praying, God, help me show off for you. He says, this is the reason I'm praying is because I want you to make sure everybody in Israel knows that there is a God in Israel and you are him. There are no others. But he takes the first thing he does, listen to me, and this has application for our lives. The first thing Elijah does, the Bible says, is he repairs the altar. Can I tell you, maybe you have an altar in your home that's torn down. I'm not talking about a physical altar, but I'm talking about an altar of your heart. Maybe there's sin that has crept into your life and you're giving it more priority than you are giving God. Maybe this morning you're more worried about other things than you are about worshiping God. Because when you come to God, you have to worship him. Amen? There's no other option. This altar in the nation of Israel had been set up for the worship of God. And it had not been used in such a long time that it needed to be repaired. But can't that be true in our lives? Elijah, man, he rebuilds the altar. And he takes 12 of these stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel. You know that they crossed the Jordan River. You know the history of the 12 stones and altars that the nation of Israel built throughout their territory and their wanderings through the wilderness. But then he gets his bull, maybe the biggest one, right? He gets his bull and he does all that needs to be done. And he's got the wood laid out up there on the altar just as it needs to be. And he's cut the bull just as the Old Testament commandments were in the book of Leviticus. And he lays it out there and everything just right. Why didn't he just call on God to send down fire then to burn it up? You know, the water pots that they're talking about here probably averaged about 6 gallons per pot. 6 gallons per pot. And he said, you know what? He said, we're going to make this even a little harder. You go, and they're in the middle of a drought, right? It still hadn't rained yet. He said, listen, you go get you water, and I want you to take and pour it all over this sacrifice, this bull. mix it in good, make sure you cover it good, don't waste any. You know, of course, you know, sit down the water, it's going to go all over the place anyhow. And they do this over and over again, three times, four pots, 6 gallons. You're over 70 gallons of water. You've got a trench that he dug around this altar. And he even has them bring extra to make sure the trench is filled up. Right? The altar needed to be repaired, but sin needed to be taken care of. I believe the trench, the Bible doesn't tell us, I believe the trench, because it isn't that strange that he built a trench around it. You don't see that anywhere else in Scripture, digging a trench around an altar. I believe it literally represents separation. It represents separation because Elijah was saying, listen, you are outside the grace and the coverings of the blood of the sacrifice. You were on the outside, and if Jesus even, Jesus, God said this in Leviticus, can't remember right off. In Leviticus, he said, listen, to all those who come near me, Leviticus 10:3, to all them who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. These people were, they claimed to be Israelites, but they were worshiping a false god. That they built this altar. They laid the fire on it, the wood on it. They put the bull on top. They flooded it with water. And then Elijah said, listen. He prays. He prays. And here again, his prayer was not that he would be seen as some miracle worker. But he prayed so that the power of God would fall on that sacrifice, and that people would realize that there is a true God in Israel, and that would lead the people to quit faltering between two opinions, as he stated earlier on in the same chapter. He wanted them to make a decision that this is God alone, and worship God alone as your Lord. Elijah prayed. He prayed there in verse 37 that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. What happened? And could you imagine being there? I'm thinking as I'm studying, I'm thinking, Lord, what would, you know, if I was an unbeliever and all of a sudden my people over here, they've been hooping and hollering all day, cutting up, cutting themselves, bleeding all over the place, hollering for their God, and he's not even paying attention. But then I see this other fellow over there, he believes in his God, and he does everything. He makes it even harder on himself to prove that he is the servant of the Most High God. And then he prays, and all of a sudden, fire falls. And I bet it didn't take all day to burn up that sacrifice. Amen. I believe within just a few seconds, the people see that fire come, it burns that sacrifice, that bull, it burns the wood, it burns the stone, it burns the dust and the dirt. And it says it licks up the water that's in the trench. How could you not fall on your face before that God? How could you not say, you are God and you are God alone? You see, the power of God is in full display. Elijah was a man that God used to turn the hearts of the people back to God. What would it take in your life for your heart to be turned back to God? So, well, I turn towards Him. Yeah, but aren't there times, even in my life, there are times when I get distracted by everything, and I begin to look this way, and I begin to look that way, and sometimes my attention isn't where it needs to be, and maybe you feel the same way, that sometimes you get distracted family problems, life in general, you know, and then all of a sudden you're kind of in a place where, say, Lord, I'm not where I used to be with you. My relationship with you is not how it used to be. Anybody? We're people, amen? We're all sinners in need of a Savior. But here's the thing I want to challenge you to do. Whenever you find yourself in that position where you feel like you've drifted from God, so to speak, or maybe backslid, a term we don't use much anymore, amen? The old preachers used to be backslid, you know? To be backslid means that I used to be here and now I've slid back. Simple. I used to be here in my relationship with God, but for some reason, good, bad, ugly, somewhere the reason I'm not where I used to be. And I've slid back with my relationship. Can I tell you, when you find yourself in that position, you need to go back to the altar. You need to go back to the altar. You need to go back and rebuild the altar. That's what Elijah had to do. For us to give God worship and honor he is due, we have to first start at the altar. We have to admit it. We have to declare him the Lord God. We have to put him back as being first place and first priority in our lives. Can I tell you another thing? Often when we drift back from God, it is one of the evidences is that we're not willing to give. And I know we don't like hearing that, do we? We don't like to give our time, we don't like to give our talents, we don't like to give anything, because it's me and me and me and all about me, right? We drift back and everything becomes about me instead of about God. But for me to worship God, I have to bring a sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I believe it's on the screen, says, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a what? Living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your, what's the next two words? Reasonable service. Do you know that what Paul is saying there is, it's not too much to ask of you. If that's not up and above, that is the baseline. That is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing of my mind. For what purpose? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can I ask you this? Elijah prayed and asked God to show the people who the one true God is. Can I ask you, who is your God this morning? Who is your God? Who are you worshiping? Who have you worshiped this past week? Is it the God of the Bible? Is it the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or is it you? Is it the things that you want to do, your kingdom? Are you more concerned about that? Or have you been worshiping God? And I ask you this, because you know the answer. God knows the answer. So pray and ask God what altar you need to repair. Maybe you say, well, today I need to make a decision to trust God as my Lord and Savior. I encourage you to do that. But you know what? What is an altar for? What is an altar for? What is the purpose of an altar? Something's got to die, right? Something's got to die on that altar. For it to be a sacrifice, something has to die. And in our setting, what has to die is we need to die to ourselves. We need to die to ourselves, because I can't live for Christ until I first die to me. You can't live for Christ until you die to yourself. So my question this morning is simply this. Who are you worshiping? it's not the God of heaven, if it's not the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, if it's not the God of the Bible, then you're worshiping a false God. Can I encourage you to trust the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, and He will save you, amen. But can I also tell you that as believers, we can get caught up and be distracted by the things of the world. Maybe today we just need to come and say, you know, Lord, I'm not worshiping you as the God you deserve to be worshiped as. And maybe today you need to make a commitment, rededicate your life, whatever it may be, to say, Lord, I want to put you first in everything. Will you stand with me? You know, they call this the altar up here. It's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting that they call this, these steps, an altar. And you know what? That altar is made so that you and I can come and present ourselves before the Lord. And it doesn't hurt whether you've been saved 5 minutes or 5,000 years. Amen? Because one day we're all going to bow before Him. I'd rather bow now than then. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, we realize, Lord, that you are God. You are the God who has created us in this world. Lord, you are the God who sustains us. You are the God who provides for us. You are the God who can do anything. Lord, you never sleep. You never slumber. Lord, you're never too tired or too busy or are unconcerned about what we are going through. And maybe today somebody needs to come and just simply say, Lord, I give my life to you. I trust you as my personal Lord and Savior. I trust you to be my God. But then, Lord, I know there's others of us too that, Lord, life gets in the way. It gets busy. It gets complicated. And Lord, today we just need to come back and bow down before you, Lord, and worship you, to lay ourselves back on the altar, Lord, because I find myself, I can lay myself down on the altar, but Lord, many times I want to get back up and do my own thing again. So Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would respond according to your will for our personal lives. Lord, have your way as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name.